Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Frank Andrews Show Podcast.
Today, John from Freeland called and steered me to something called the Violence Project. The Violence Project is a database of mass shootings in the United States, okay? And they do all kinds of research on who the shooters are. And they have a one-hour podcast or a webinar or something, and I pulled just a chunk of it from some of their research. Jake, it is soundbite number 6, Violence Project. Just listen to this, and listen, John mentioned Columbine. Just listen to what they have to say.
So, we have analyzed the lives and the life histories of mass shooters and mass school shooters. Also, using data from David's K-12 school shooting database, we've also looked at cases that didn't reach that threshold of a mass shooting in a school building, but came very close, meaning that a student came to school with the intention of perpetrating a mass shooting, but for whatever reason, it never rose to that threshold. Taking over 130 cases over that time period in the database, we've been able to identify some commonalities around the pathways to violence for school shooters. So just some things to kind of keep in mind as we move forward. These types of events tend to occur in public schools. Now, there's lots of reasons why that might be the case. Is it a resource issue? Is it a class size issue? Is it a socioeconomic status issue? I think all of that could be to be pointed to, but it's just recognizing that these do tend to occur in public schools. The perpetrators are themselves school children. That's really the most important thing to think about here. School shooters are school children. They're insiders, not outsiders. That has important implications for intervention because it's not necessarily something we can lock out of our schools because these are the same individuals who are walking through the school building and the safety procedures every single day of their lives. They tend to be young men. In fact, the average age for school shooters is about 15 or 16 years old. They often have a disciplinary record or a history of violence, and many have also experienced some form of bullying. Jill, a little bit later, is going to talk more on the details of the mental health warning signs, but I just want to emphasize something in terms of trends with school shootings. School shootings tend to occur in the morning. This is important because often many of the steps we take to mitigate these shootings, active shooter drills and things, don't usually take into account the idea that the school might not be in full session when a shooting occurs. So we've had instances, for instance, where shootings have occurred before even anyone's even taken the register for attendance that day, and people are even in their regular classroom spaces. The most common day for a school shooting of this type is the 20th of the month. That actually speaks to the contagion aspect of the Columbine shooting. Columbine became a blueprint for many school shooters, and because that occurred on the 20th of April, many school shooters copycat that date. And in terms of the most common times for shooting to occur, it's usually at those transition periods in the school calendar, at the beginning of the school year, just after winter break, or toward the end of the school year. And we feel that there's maybe a correlation there because these are particularly stressful times in the lives of young people where there's a lot of things up in the air.
Now, I shared that clip with you because if you really want to kind of get an understanding of this, go to that website. It is called the Violence Project. There is a database there of information, and there is the one-hour webinar. And it is fascinating. And I want to thank John from Freeland who steered me to that yesterday.
The Frank Andrews Show Podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.